Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Exodus and chapter 19, starting a series of 10 messages on the Ten Commandments, on the Decalogue. Let me start out by saying this morning. You know, I was thinking about, I kind of rehearse my preaching. I don't always remember what I say and how I say it. And sometimes I'm amazed at what God allows me to say because there's nothing I prepared to say. And I don't know if I said it enough last week. I want you to know this. If you knew the Jesus that I know, if you knew him like I know him, you would run to him for salvation if you're not born again. Man, he has been there for my, whatever my need, whatever it has ever been. He has healed my broken heart time and time again. He has given me peace. My life is full of bliss that I do not deserve. He has protected me in times of danger. It's amazing how good God has been to Tim Rader. And I want to testify to that. And my life ain't much. And I am certainly not the epitome of a servant of Christ. But I want you to know. I just want you to know. Because I kind of feel like the last couple of services, and I don't know what it is, and I'm not putting my thumb on it. It's like a little bit of a coldness. Like, all of a sudden, people aren't happy about their Savior. Well, I hope that's not you. If you knew God the way I know God, if you'd have been there in my prayer time last night, if you'd have been there in my prayer time this morning, if you understood just the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and it's available to every sinner that'll come to Christ, man, you would come running to him. God has protected me again and again. I only shared this with Glenda this morning, and I alluded to it in Sunday school. I haven't even told my wife. I thought about it. I was coming back down 28 yesterday, and high speed, passing a car on the scenic stretch, and the pickup truck that was towing an RV that I was passing swerved out into my lane. And I drove down into the gravel, two wheels down into the ditch, and two wheels on the outer edge of the gravel. And with my NASCAR capabilities, I got it back on the road. And I was driving, I was pretty aggressive getting it back on. I got it on, gravel going everywhere, and I fell home. And going down the road within the last couple of minutes after that, just a few short moments, I was thinking, you know, that was actually pretty close to hitting those cedar trees down there. That's pretty close to rolling. God is good to me. And oh, how life would be different today if that had happened. I'd probably be in heaven. Everything would be okay. Or my body would be all broken up and I'd be in a hospital somewhere. And you know what? Thank God for your Savior. Thank God for the goodness he has brought into your life. I want to preach on the Decalogue. 10 commandments this morning. The first commandment. A little bit of background. And I just say this again. You know what? The Decalogue, the commandments, 613 commands in the Word of God. It's more than just the Ten Commandments. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that the Ten Commandments, the law is a schoolmaster to show us we need Christ. Man, so we don't get full of ourselves. If you could get to heaven by yourself without a Savior, without a Redeemer, then God would let an imperfect sinner into a perfect heaven and it wouldn't be a perfect heaven anymore. You see, you fell short of the glory of God when you broke the law. So did I. And the law is there to teach us that we need a Savior. In Exodus in chapter 19, if you turn there very quickly, I want to read very quickly chapter 19. I'm going to skip some of it, and then I'm going to get to the first three verses in chapter 20 and trust it'll be a blessing to you, and you'll have a good understanding of the Ten Commandments before we get through. It says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount, the foot of Mount Sinai. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Some instructions are going to be given to Moses. We refer to him as the lawgiver. He is a picture of Jesus Christ. He delivered them out of the land of Egypt. But some instructions are given to Moses to give to the people. And then Moses is going to go back up on the mountain and verbally, orally, vocally, God is going to rehearse the Ten Commandments to Moses, and he's going to come back down, and there's going to be a process that goes on there. And it says in verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Complete salvation. The Hebrews were delivered from 400 years of slavery. The Hebrews were delivered from the land of Egypt, and he delivered them on eagle's wings. There's some picture there that we don't often think about. Eagles are very affectionate with their young. That's my God. Many times, little eaglets are carried on the back of their mother while she is flying. God carried them on his back out of the land of Egypt. Jesus delivered them from the slavery of sin, just like he did for you and for me. And if there's never been a day when you have been born again, you need that day of deliverance. It isn't like there's going to be a fiery cross in the sky. And like I preached two Sundays ago, it's a hard thing where you repent of your sin and call upon God. And there's the danger of second generation Christianity. I'll say that again. God doesn't have any grandchildren. You aren't going to heaven because mom and dad got saved. You aren't going to heaven because Uncle Billy's a preacher. There must be a time when you are born into the family of God. When you choose Christ, repentant of your sin, you cry out to God. And that's all it is. You cry out to God. I say that's all it is. This is the biggest thing in life. But there has to come a time, a God-conscious moment, where you call upon God and ask him to save your soul and forgive you of all your sin. That's when you get born again. And before they receive the commandments, there's a picture of salvation here in verses 4 and 5 and 6. 5 says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So there's a test. They're going to be proved. In fact, you can read that in chapter 20 and verse 20. It says, "And Moses said unto the people concerning the commandments, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." So they were going to be tested, these people of God, and they failed. They failed. And that is the purpose of the law, to show you and to show me that we need a redeemer, that we need a savior. It's amazing how man can rationalize his sin. And in our hearts, twist everything around and make good evil and evil good. It's amazing how I can take my own sin and say it's not important and it really doesn't offend God, and look at my neighbor's sin and say, man, that's big time stuff. That'll send a soul to hell. That'll separate them from God. And sometimes it's amazing if we get away from the book, and the law teaches us, Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, the law is our schoolmaster to teach us we need God. We need Christ. I've been watching a charcoal grill in the Sioux. I wasn't going to buy it in the height of the season. I've been charcoaling. I've been barbecuing on the most pitiful grill you have ever seen. It was rusted out last year, and this year it just barely holds up the charcoal. I mean, it's so rusted out and so bad. And on Thursday, Debbie and I were in the Sioux, and sure enough, there it is. It's marked down to $97. Last one. Box is all beat up. Heavy-duty charcoal grill. I don't like that propane stuff. I like charcoal. I like that. I'm the real thing. That's part of being a fundamentalist, too. I think it is, you know. And so I got it. I never thought, oh my goodness, I hate putting bookshelves together. And if you pay $10 or $20, they'll put it together there at the store. I got it out that afternoon. I'm all excited, and I took it. Man, look at, I'm taking more and more cardboard, but look at all these pieces. I'm not kidding you, there's 100 pieces scattered all over my garage floor even yet this morning. I have gotten to the place where, you know what, I started to put together and I'm getting so short fused. Maybe it's the heat, I don't know what. I'm thinking, this ain't worth it. So I set it aside. Yesterday afternoon, 6 o'clock last night, I went out in the garage, got out my screw gun. I'm going to put it together. There's 100 bolts. I set it back down, went back in the house again. My wife told on me this morning. That's why I'm telling you these things. Yeah, I'll pay somebody $25 to put that together. All right. I don't want the heartache. We are such a needy people. We are people that, man, if it weren't for the instructions that God had given to us, if it wasn't for the Decalogue, we would convince ourselves that adultery isn't wrong. We would convince ourselves that murder isn't. Wait a minute, that's been going on in America. We need the book. We need the Decalogue. Let's go back to Exodus in chapter 19 again. Verse 7 says, "And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." Now I remind you, they failed. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, and the people may hear what when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." They're going to meet God. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself that ye go not up to the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, and whether it be beast or man, it shall not live when the trumpet soundeth long. They shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord, I know I'm reading a little bit, but let me just continue a little bit. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people. He's going to remind them, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. You got to remind these people, they can't come near the mountain. It is a holy place. They'll be struck dead if they do, man or beast. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. First commandment. With promise. First commandment of the Ten Commandments. Greatest commandment of all. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. Commandments 5 through 10, the next 6, is our relationship with man. There is what is called in the Levitical law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law. The moral law pictures the person of Christ. The ceremonial law pictures the work of Christ. You Bible students, you need to get a hold of that. That's going to help you sort things out and rightly divide the word of truth. The moral law pictures the person of Christ. He's holy. He's righteous. The ceremonial law pictures the work of Christ. It's what he performed. It's what he did. Christ fulfilled our failure in the moral law. Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And Christ fulfilled or completed the picture of the ceremonial law. So we're not held to those laws any longer, although they're wonderful, wonderful God-given principles. Now you got to keep that in mind as we study through the Ten Commandments. And remember, the law is good. The Bible tells us that. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, now we know that the law is good. In Romans in chapter 7 and verse 12, it says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandments holy and just and good. Galatians 3 and verses 24 and 25. The problem is, the law is good, the law is holy, the standard is high, but we are evil. We are not good. We are not holy. That's why we need a Savior. And after we get born again, we still need the Savior. We still need the Good Shepherd. Because although the law is good, and the law is holy, and the Bible says, by the way, Paul said, comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. The standard is not Tim Rader. The standard is not somebody you know down the street that you think is a good Christian or a bad Christian. The standard is the Word of God. The law is holy. The law is good. And again, Galatians 3, 24, 25, it's our teacher. You see, the culture is now calling things good that are not good. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you something. Man has continued to change throughout the eons of time. Cultures, one culture differs from another culture. That is not the standard of right and wrong. God is the standard of what right and wrong. It's amazing. We don't call murder, murder. Abortion's a murder. That's what it is. The leading cause of death in the world in 2018, 49 million abortions. Blood is dripping from the hands of man. And yet the majority of people in the population of the earth, they wouldn't look at it as murder. Homosexual, just name the sin. Go right on down the list. ulterior, you know, we label everything. Go back to the book. Go back to the book. We come to this very first commandment. Verse 1 says, and God spake all these words, saying, this is the Decalogue. This is the nuts and bolts of life. This is that moral fiber that made America great. This is the Judeo-Christian Bible values right here in the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. Man without the Bible is an anchorless, hopeless being, just full of himself. We've all seen it, the dog chasing his tail. We laugh. Oh, what a stupid animal. Ralph, man, I wish your brain was bigger than that. What are you doing? You know, chasing himself around. Mankind without God. Man without God trying to earn God's love. Man without God, no moral compass. Whatever the culture says, votes into being right and wrong, that ends up being right. It's amazing. You go to universities and people are taught so much wackiness by big time wackos. It's unbelievable, you know. And we convince ourselves that we're right. God said you need a schoolmaster. You need a teacher. Ten Commandments. It says in verse 1, and God spake all these words, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's salvation. I was saved by God. God is the one that washed away my sin, the Son of God. His name is Jesus. He's the great Redeemer. He's my only mediator. He's my only advocate with God the Father. He's all I need. He's all you need. And I was born into the family of God. And unless you misunderstand, or you don't hear the rest of the message, or you just get a piece of the message, you're listening to a radio broadcast or something, you need to know this. Heaven is not for the elite. But the way to heaven is exclusive. That's the first commandment, by the way. It says here in verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We serve one God. It is not pluralism. It isn't all roads lead to heaven. It isn't there's all kinds of gods. Muhammad is not a god. Confucius is not a god. He's in the grave. A philosophy is not a god. Some think football heroes and sports heroes are gods. Stars, some god, can't even keep their own life together. Some people believe that music is God. Some people think that a lifestyle, some people think they themselves are God. Look what it says in Deuteronomy. Turn over there, please, quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Deuteronomy chapter 4, as soon as I find it, here we go. Verse 35, unto thee it was showed that thou mightst know that the Lord, this almost seems so elemental, it's like I shouldn't even have to drive it home, but I want to drive it home. That the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. One God. Go to Exodus in chapter 3. Exodus in chapter 3. Moses, just before delivering the people, the Hebrews, out of the land of Egypt, was going to stand before Pharaoh. And he wasn't sure of himself. And he said, God, they're not going to listen to me. He said, what do I say? Verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them, his own people? Who will I say has sent me? And God said unto Moses, notice it's capitalized, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am that I am. The all-sufficient one. The absolute God. I am that I am. Doesn't need anybody else. Doesn't need any lesser gods. He is God. It is not pluralism. It isn't there's all kinds of gods. There aren't. There's one God. Very first commandment of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John in chapter 18, when they were coming with pitchforks and swords to get Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, who do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus. And he said, I am. And they fell flat on their backs. Read that portion of Scripture. The power of God. I am that I am. I remind you again this morning, God doesn't need anybody. He is absolute God. Anything less, he's not God. You say, well, what about this? Oh, what about that? Oh, what about this? 6,000 years of human history hadn't changed it. God is God. And it's never going to change. He tells us he's God from everlasting unto everlasting. I'm saved by that God. I'm born again and going to heaven because of that God. Man, I'll die on that mountain. There's no wiggle room. There's no room for compromise. Adrian Rogers is in heaven. He's a great pulpiteer. Some of you listen to him on the radio. I listen to him on the radio. He was part of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not a Southern Baptist preacher. We are not a Southern Baptist church. There's too much liberalism going on there. Adrian Rogers fought it. If you know anything about Adrian Rogers, man, he fought it till the day he died. And now he's in heaven. Great preacher. Not taking anything away from his preaching. But in one of their national meetings, there were all kinds of preachers and all kinds of, what do they call those people that go to the denominational meetings? They are representing their congregation. Any union people would probably know the term. Delegates, yeah, okay, all right, delegates, all right. So they had delegates there and all kinds of attorneys in the Southern Baptist Convention at this national meeting. Adrian Rogers was the president at that time of the Southern Baptist Convention. He did his best to swing it back to the right, but to no avail. They had some subcommittee meetings. Some of the preachers, the big shot preachers, and some attorneys went to Adrian Rogers and said, listen, if you would just compromise just a little bit, if you would give up just a little bit, we can get together. Adrian Rogers' answer was classic. Gentlemen, there's something you must understand. We don't have to get together. There doesn't need to be a Southern Baptist Convention. I don't need the retirement money. I don't have to be pastor, but I have to be faithful to God. I said, wow, that's great. If people had that kind of backbone today, we have one God. He's a jealous God. That's next Sunday morning's message. And that word jealous means a lot. One of the things it means is zealous, visiting the sin of the fathers unto the second and the third generation. Our God is holy. We need to understand that. He is the holy God of heaven. He is the I am that I am. In the second commandment, he's going to say no idols, no graven images, no room for any of that kind of garbage. Get serious with God. He said, I, the Lord, am one God. Go back to Exodus and chapter 20 again. Exodus and chapter 20. We serve one God, no idols. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve God and mammon. You say, mammon of God? Absolutely. You say, what is mammon? Mammon is money. Mammon is not necessarily the possession of money, but the desire for money. And that's what motivates you. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, the apostle John says to the little, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why did that have to be said? Why is that the very first commandment? Because we're prone to wander. If I'm not careful, I'm bowing down at the God of a sports team. If I'm not careful, God, until the team's playing, oh, that got to be there. If I'm not careful, I'll be bowing down to the God of popularity or the God of money or the God of sensual pleasure, hedonism. I'll be bowing down to some other, oh yeah, I love Jesus, until your God calls and then you go running off to that idol. He said, keep yourself from idols. Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'll start to wind this down by saying this. If you do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, you can't get born again. You can't. You say, that's hard. That's Bible. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you don't believe in the deity of Christ, then it wasn't the very Son of God, only begotten Son of God that was hanging on the cross and shed his blood and made blood atonement. If you don't believe in the deity of Christ, then Jesus did not get up from the grave on the third day. He is the very God. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, Godhead, created the heavens and the earth. Verse 26, let us, Elohim, Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image. He's God. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, the Christmas message. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation. John in chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. How about you turn over there? John chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. Jesus saith unto him, first of all, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus, show us the Father. That'll be enough. That's all we need. Just show us the Father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So he says, you believe me, I am in the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. The deity of Christ. We have one God. I better say something to this. We don't worship a three-headed God. That is not what triunity means. That's not what Trinity means. They're separate in office, but one in essence. Jesus said, you see me? You've seen the Father. Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, Jesus is with us today via the Holy Spirit with his church. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I, the Lord thy God, am one God. One God. No wiggle room. I ain't looking anywhere else. There's no other gods. There's nobody that satisfies. There is only Jesus. And again, if you're not born again, heaven isn't for the elite. Not the religious elite, certainly not the religious elite. But it is an exclusive way. It's Jesus. The cross. 400 times in the Word of God. He's the only way to heaven. He is it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. Don't have time to read it. He's creator. That's Jesus. He's deity. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. He's from everlasting unto everlasting. He is God. What a Savior. What a God. I came across this a couple years back, and I've shared it once before, but I want to share it again concerning our God. Absolute. I am that I am. The Messianic prophecies alone concerning the birth of Christ. Just the birth of Christ. This is life here on this earth, his birth and his life here on this earth. Just the 33 years. The chances of it all happening by coincidence. I'm not a mathematician, but this is what scientific mathematicians have come up with. The chance of it all being just a coincidence is 1 in 87 followed by 93 zeros. That's the chance that what Jesus did accidentally happened and they were not messianic prophecies. I'm not going to bet my soul against those odds. We worship God. We worship Jesus. I, the Lord thy God, am one God. Okay. How many gods do you have? Say, I got one Savior. That's good, but that's not what I ask. How many gods you have? How many little gods, little g gods? How many things dictate your life above Jesus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I got a feeling there are a lot of people in the auditorium this morning bowing down to other gods. Oh, you're thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for salvation. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. It really is. Man, to be a child of God, but we don't serve him. We make time for everything else except God. Prayer meeting comes around on Wednesday night, and there's other things to do. There's always going to be other things to do. Always. Sunday night comes around, there's other things to do. There's always going to be other things to do. Put Jesus first. Prayer time, prayer closet, soul winning. Who have you told about Jesus? Serve one God. One. Absolute.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.